Best Solo Board Games, ranked 2026. The One Player Knight. Robert here, pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. The best solo board game overall is Spirit Island, a cooperative defense puzzle that plays beautifully with one or two spirits in hand and scales from gentle to genuinely brutal via its adversary system. If you want the connoisseur's pick, it's Mage Knight, Ultimate Edition, ranked the two solo game in Board Game Geek's People's Choice poll 3 years running and widely called the deepest one-player experience in the hobby. For a fast weeknight under falling skies, 20 to 40 min, solo only is hard to beat. For a long campaign, Arkham Horror, The Card Game or Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion. For pure cheap puzzle, Sprawlopolis at about $12. None of these are sold here. Puzzlewick is a library, not a store. We just point you at the maker and get out of the way. Here's what I've learned after 23 years of this. A game designed for one player has to be a partner, not a consolation. When you're bringing both chairs to the table, the board doesn't get to be weak. A bad solo mode feels like you're talking to yourself. A great one feels like someone built it knowing exactly where you're soft, and that's what I've chased on every shelf in this library. The 10 games below are the ones that earn their place because I kept reaching for them. That's the whole rule. If it didn't earn a shelf, it isn't in this guide. I'm going to be straight with you about the trade-offs, because solo gaming has a tax that catches people off guard. Upkeep. Every automated opponent, the Automa deck, the bot, the adversary system, is a little engine you're running by hand, and some of those engines are a genuine joy while others are a chore. I'll tell you which is which. I'll also tell you flat out when a celebrated game feels, to my candid eye, a touch overrated for solo play, because the worst thing a recommendation can do is flatter every entry equally. You deserve better than that. I've organized this by occasion instead of one long ranking, because solo players don't want the same game every night, you want the right game for tonight. So I've split by mood, best overall, gateway and quick, heavy and epic, campaign, pure puzzle and cheap small box. The numbers are my personal order, the ones I'd grab first, but read the segments and the table, because the best solo game is the one that fits the time you actually have. Prices are real where I could verify them and marked approximate when they wander. We don't sell any of this, and we take no markup. Every link points at the maker. Now clear the table and let's find the one that's waiting for your hand. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What is the single best solo board game in 2026? If you put a gun to my head and allowed one box, I'd hand you Spirit Island. You play one or two elemental spirits defending an island from colonizing invaders, and solo is not an afterthought bolted on. It's arguably the purest asterisk way to experience the game, because the whole thing collapses into one tight optimization puzzle that lives entirely in your head. The invaders are a deterministic threat. They explore, build, and ravage on a schedule you can read 3 turns out, which means losing is always your fault and winning always feels earned. That's the holy grail of solo design. The magic is the adversary system. Out of the box, you can dial the difficulty from teaching a friend to this is genuinely unfair. And every spirit plays like a different game, a slow terraforming engine, a fast-burning blitz, a control deck made of fear. You don't replay Spirit Island, you resolve it. It runs 90 to 120 minutes and sits at a mid-heavy weight, so it's not a 5-minute filler, but the rules are far friendlier than its reputation suggests once someone or a good tutorial walks you in. If that's a wall, the standalone Horizons of Spirit Island is the lighter on-ramp at roughly 30. But the full game is the one that earned the top of my shelf, and it's the answer I give when someone asks the title question without qualifiers. The too complex for solo reputation is mostly myth. Spirit Island gets called a brain melter, and at high adversary levels it is. But the base setup at low difficulty is gentler than Terraforming Mars and far gentler than Mage Knight. People bounce off the asterisk theme density and the iconography, not the actual decision space. Give it 3 games before you decide it's too much. Almost nobody who pushes through wants to go back. Play 2 spirits before you judge. The difficulty solo with a single spirit can feel tight to the point of fragile. Running 2 spirits, the so-called two-handed solo, opens up the combo space, smooths your bad draws, and is how most veterans actually play alone. If your first solo game felt like you were drowning, it's probably a One Spirit problem, not a you problem. What's the best solo board game for beginners or a quick weeknight? Two different questions, so two answers. For the quickest satisfying session, it's Under Falling Skies, a solo asterisk only asterisk displacement game where every die you place to power an action also decides which alien ship descends faster. Big numbers do more but doom you sooner. The whole game is that one delicious tension, and it's over in 20 to 40 minutes with a campaign that escalates as you go. It's the cleanest, I have 1 hour and a tired brain game I own, around $30. For a true gateway that teaches engine building without punishing you, Wingspan with the Automa is the gentle landing. You build a tableau of birds over 4 rounds while a card-driven Automa bird opponent scores in the background, no fiddly bot to puppeteer, just flip a card and resolve. It's beautiful, it's calming, and at a medium light weight, it's the game I hand someone who says, I've never played a real board game alone before. And if you want a soul-only deck builder, you can keep in a coat pocket, Friday, more on it below, is the pocket knife answer. The trap beginners fall into is starting with a 4-hour epic and concluding solo gaming isn't for them. Start light, earn the heavy games. Don't start your solo journey on a 4-hour epic. The most common way people quit solo gaming is buying Mage Knight or Gloomhaven first, hitting the rulebook wall on a tired Tuesday, and shelving the whole hobby. Begin with Under Falling Skies or Wingspan. Get 3 or 4 wins under your belt and learn the asterisk rhythm of playing both sides. The big games will still be there, and you'll appreciate them more. In Under Falling Skies, embrace the death spiral early new players hoard low dice to keep ships up high and slowly lose by inches. The trick is to take the asterisk aggressive asterisk high value actions early, dig faster, research faster, and accept that ships will descend. You're racing a clock, not surviving one. Played conservatively, it's a grind. Played boldly, it's a thriller. What are the best heavy, epic solo board games for a full evening? Now we're in my favorite room of the library. When I want the table to eat the evening asterisk, I reach for Mage Knight, Ultimate Edition. It's the most recommended deep solo game in the hobby, ranked 2 in Board Game Geek's People's Choice Solo Poll 3 years running, and it plays like a sprawling, card-driven puzzle of movement, combat, and deck management across a tile-laid landscape you reveal as you go. A single game runs 3 to 4 hours, and the rulebook is, frankly, a small mountain. But once you're over it, nothing else scratches quite the same itch. If you want epic without the 4-hour commitment, Ark Nova is a stunner. Solo gives you exactly 27 turns to build a zoo, racing your conservation marker to meet your reputation marker, no Automa to babysit at all, just a tight, immersive self-race. It's heavy, a 3.7-ish weight, but the solo mode is so clean it's worth owning just asterisk for one player play. And for the survival horror brain, Robinson Crusoe, Adventures on the Cursed Island is the brutal classic, a scenario-driven story engine where you're guiding a team of castaways through weather, wounds, and despair. It is asterisk punishingly asterisk hard solo, and that's the point. 7 scenarios, medium heavyweight, and a story that genuinely changes every time. A Spirit Island campaign brought home Mage Knight is the best solo game and the worst first solo game, both things are true. It's the deepest one-player experience money can buy, and it will absolutely break a newcomer's spirit on game one. The rulebook is a part-time job. My honest take, it's a masterpiece you have to commit asterisk to, not a game you try. If you won't give it 3 full plays and a rules video, skip it, you'll just reset the box. In Ark Nova Solo, your 27 turns are your real opponent because there's no bot, the game is a race against the turn counter, and the breaks, your scoring refresh windows, trigger more aggressively than in multiplayer. Plan your big card plays around break timing from turn 1. Players who treat it like a relaxed multiplayer game run out of turns with a half-finished zoo. Tempo is everything. What's the best solo campaign board game? Campaigns are where solo gaming becomes an asterisk relationship, you and a box, night after night, watching a story and a character grow. The king here is Arkham Horror, the card game. The brand new 2026 core set opens, Chapter 2, with a fresh 3-scenario campaign and 5 new investigators, and it's the new evergreen on ramp. Solo, 1 investigator, or two-handed, is the connoisseur's way to play. Every campaign carries your choices, scars, and trauma forward, so a victory three scenarios deep means something. It's a living card game, which means it can become a hobby within a hobby and a wallet within a wallet, but the core box alone is a complete replayable arc. For a board, not card, campaign, Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion is the smartest entry point in all of dungeon crawl gaming. It's a streamlined, /25 scenario campaign that teaches you the system *** the early missions instead of a rulebook, plays straight out of a scenario book with no tile laying, and costs a fraction of big Gloomhaven, often around $30 to $40. Solo, you pilot two of the four mercenaries, a little less character attachment than full party play, but the tactical puzzle is immaculate. Meeple Mountain called it every bit as good as the original, and they're right. Honorable beloved mention, The Lord of the Rings, the card game, the granddaddy of cooperative LCGs, still adored for true solo questing through Middle-earth. It's older and the card pool is deep water, but the core experience of one hero against a quest deck remains a comfort food classic. Living card games are a slope, not a step. Arkham Horror and Lord of the Rings LCG both start at one affordable core box, but the format is designed to sell you expansion packs forever. That's not a knock. The deck building is half the joy. Just go in clear-eyed. The core set is a complete game, and you can stop there and be perfectly happy, or you can fall down the hole. Your call, your wallet. For Gloomhaven solo, run two complementary classes. Jaws of the Lion forces a two-character party in solo. Don't pick two glass cannon damage dealers. Pair a sturdy frontliner with a ranged support so you can actually control the board. The early scenarios are a tutorial. The real difficulty spike hits around the midpoint, and a balanced pair is what carries you through it. What are the best pure puzzle and deck-building solo games? Some nights you don't want a story or a war, you want a clean, knotty puzzle asterisk. The standout cooperative deck builder for solo is Ian's End, and its signature twist is that you never shuffle your deck. You have perfect information about the order your cards will return, which transforms deck building from a probability game into a planning game. Every discard is a decision about your own future. Solo, it's reliably tense on easy and genuinely brutal on hard, and it sits in the $50 range. It's the deck builder I recommend to people who think they don't like deck builders. For the asterisk designed for solo asterisk deck builder, nothing beats Friday. You play Friday optimizing Robinson Crusoe's deck of fight cards to survive the island's hazards, thinning and upgrading until he can face the pirates. It's a brilliant little engine about deck quality over quantity. Sometimes the best card is no card. It packs into a tiny box and costs almost nothing. And for the cooperative deck builder crowd, the modern darling Ian's End has plenty of company. But if you want a thematic horror puzzle that's also a deck builder, circle back to Arkham Above. The puzzle segment is where solo gaming is at its most meditative, just you, a system, and the quiet satisfaction of a sequence that clicks. Arc Nova animal and sponsor cards in play in Ian's End, sculpt your discard pile, not just your deck because you never shuffle, the order cards re-enter your hand is a resource you control. Veterans deliberately discard their hand in a chosen sequence so next cycle's draws line up for a big turn. Stop thinking what's in my deck and start thinking what's the order. That single mental shift is the whole game's skill ceiling. Friday is undersold as a beginner game. It's a genuinely sharp puzzle. People file Friday under cheap starter solo and move on. I think that's backwards. The deck thinning math is tighter than half the $60 games on this list, and mastering it takes real reps. It just happens to come in a cheap small box. Don't mistake the price tag for the depth. What's the best cheap, small-box solo board game? You do not need to spend $100 to have a perfect one-player night. My pound-for-pound champion in the cheap and small category is Sprawlopolis. 18 cards, a wallet, and a SimCity-in-your-pocket puzzle that's never the same twice thanks to its variable scoring goals. Solo, you build a city block by block, chasing three randomly drawn scoring conditions, and it plays in about 20 minutes. The commercial copy with the little wallet runs about $12. The print and play is $3 and three sheets of paper. One reviewer at Meeple Shelter put it perfectly, it truly shines as a solo puzzle. I agree completely. If you want a horror experience on a small box budget, Final Girl is the move. A core box plus any $20 feature film, a killer plus a location, gives you a complete solo slasher that wraps in 30 to 60 minutes. Mix and match films for dozens of combinations. It's dice and cards, tense and unapologetically thematic. Board Game Quest's reviewer called it an excellent job of distilling the feel of trying to survive a horror movie. The lesson of this whole segment: small boxes punch absurdly above their price. Sprawlopolis and its button-shy wallet game cousins, Friday, The Final Girl Line. These are the games I'd press into a new solo player's hands before any $60 slab, because they prove the format's joy for the cost of a sandwich. Sprawlopolis. An entire city in 18 cards. Try Sprawlopolis Print and Play before you buy anything for $3 and 3 pages. You can print the whole game and find out tonight whether the small box solo puzzle is your thing. If it clicks, buy the lovely $12 wallet copy to support the maker. It's the lowest risk way to test drive the entire cheap small box genre. The small box crowd is the most evangelical in solo gaming. Ask in any solo group for cheap recommendations and you'll get a flood. Sprawlopolis, Palm Island, Tuckbox Games, the whole button-shy wallet line. There's a real community devotion to the idea that great design doesn't need a big footprint, and after years of late nights, I'm firmly in that camp. Are solo modes actually good, or just a bonus feature? This is the question that keeps people out of the hobby, so let me answer it straight. The best solo modes are not consolation prizes, they're the main event. There's a meaningful split, though, and knowing it will save you money. On one side, a game's asterisk designed solo first or solo only. Under Falling Skies, Friday, Final Girl, Spirit Island's Adversary Puzzle, Robinson Crusoe's Scenarios. These don't simulate an absent opponent. The system itself is your adversary, and they're flawless alone. On the other side are multiplayer games with a bolted-on automated opponent, Wingspan's Automa, Terraforming Mars Solo Timer, Scythe's Bot. These range from excellent Wingspan, Arc Nova's Clean Self-Race, to fiddly, some bots are a chore to run, and you spend as much time being the opponent as being yourself. My honest filter: a great solo mode either removes the opponent and makes the system the challenge, or gives you a bot so light it disappears into the background. The moment I'm spending real brain power puppeteering an AI instead of playing my own game, the magic's gone. So, are solo modes good? The ones on this list are excellent, I wouldn't shelve them otherwise. But has a solo mode on a box is not a promise of quality. Check whether it's solo by design or solo by afterthought, and you'll almost never be disappointed. Most fiddly bot opponents are worse than no opponent at all. Unpopular opinion: a chunk of celebrated solo modes are just chores wearing a costume. If I'm flipping cards and consulting a flowchart to run an AI that I then have to asterisk also asterisk outthink, I'm doing two jobs and enjoying one. The games that nail solo either delete the opponent, Spirit Island, Under Falling Skies, or make the bot nearly automatic, Wingspan. Fiddle is the enemy of immersion. Read solo only as a quality signal, not a limitation when a designer builds a game for one player from the ground up. Under Falling Skies, Friday, Legacy of You, the solo experience is the asterisk entire asterisk point, so it's tuned to the decimal. Solo only on the box isn't a smaller game. It's often a sharper one. Some of the best one-player nights I've had came out of the smallest, most single-minded boxes. Final verdict: if you buy one box, buy Spirit Island. It's the cleanest, most replayable solo puzzle in the hobby, and the answer I give when someone asks without qualifiers. If you're a beginner, start light with Wingspan or Under Falling Skies and earn the heavy games. Nobody should hit the Mage Knight rulebook on a tired Tuesday as their first solo night. If you want depth and you'll commit, Mage Knight Ultimate Edition is the summit, and Arc Nova is the heavy game with the most painless solo experience. For campaigns, Arkham Horror's 2026 core set and Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion are both superb, and never overlook the small boxes. Sprawlopolis and Friday prove a perfect one-player night can cost the price of a sandwich. Every one of these earned its shelf, or it wouldn't be here. We don't sell them and we take no markup. The links go straight to the makers. Now go clear the table. Still deciding? Take the game finder. answer 7 quick questions, and the cabinet hands you the one board game built for your table, with a buy link and your own shareable player talisman. Frequently asked questions. What is the best solo board game overall? Spirit Island. It's a cooperative defense puzzle that plays beautifully with one or two spirits, scales from gentle to brutal via its adversary system, and is arguably purer solo than multiplayer. The connoisseur's alternative is Mage Knight, Ultimate Edition, the two-game in Board Game Geek's People's Choice Solo Poll 3 years running, and the deepest one-player experience in the hobby. What's the best solo board game for beginners? Wingspan with its Automa is the gentlest gateway, beautiful, calming engine building with a no-fuss automated opponent. For a quick beginner-friendly thriller, Under Falling Skies, solo only 20 to 40 minutes is ideal. The key beginner rule, don't start on a 4-hour epic like Mage Knight, or you'll wrongly conclude solo gaming isn't for you. Are solo board game modes actually good or just a bonus? The best ones are the main event, not a consolation prize. Games designed solo first or solo only, Under Falling Skies, Friday, Final Girl, Spirit Island's adversary puzzle, make the system itself your opponent and are flawless alone. Multiplayer games with bolted-on bots vary. Wingspan's Automa and Arc Nova's Self-Race are excellent. Some other bots are fiddly chores. Check whether a game is solo by design or solo by afterthought. What's the best cheap solo board game? It's an 18-card, variable goal city-building puzzle that's never the same twice and plays in 20 minutes. Small boxes punch far above their price in solo gaming. What's the best heavy or epic solo board game for a long evening? Mage Knight, Ultimate Edition for the deepest 3 to 4 hour puzzle, Arc Nova for a clean heavy engine builder with no bot to manage, and Robinson Crusoe for brutal survival storytelling. All three are medium heavy to heavy and reward a full evening's commitment. What's the best solo campaign board game? Arkham Horror, the card game, 2026 core set for narrative campaigns where your choices and scars carry forward, and Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion for a board-based dungeon crawl campaign that teaches itself through -25 scenarios. The Lord of the Rings, the card game, is the beloved older alternative for true solo questing. What's the best solo board game you can finish in under 30 minutes? Under Falling Skies, 20 to 40 min, and Sprawlopolis, 20 min, are the two to reach for. Both deliver a complete, satisfying puzzle in a single short sitting, Under Falling Skies for tense displacement, Sprawlopolis for a quick city-building brain teaser. What's the best solo horror board game? Arkham Horror. The card game is the best solo horror for campaign-style cosmic dread. Do I need expansions to enjoy these solo games? Number every game here is complete and replayable out of the base box. Living card games like Arkham Horror and Lord of the Rings are designed to sell expansions forever, but their core sets are full games you can stop at and be happy. Spirit Island, Arc Nova, Wingspan, and the rest need nothing added to deliver a great one-player night. What's the best solo deck-building game? Eon's End for cooperative deck-building. Its no-shuffle mechanic turns deck management into a planning puzzle with a deep skill ceiling. Is Mage Knight too hard to learn for solo play? It has the steepest learning curve on this list. The rulebook is genuinely a part-time job. It's the best solo game and the worst first solo game, both at once. If you'll commit to 3 full plays plus a rules video, it's a masterpiece. If you just want to try something, start with Spirit Island or Under Falling Skies instead. Which solo games have no fiddly bot to manage? Spirit Island, Deterministic Invaders, Under Falling Skies solo-only system, Arc Nova race against a 27-turn counter, Robinson Crusoe, Scenario Engine, Friday, and Sprawlopolis all make the system itself the challenge with no AI opponent to puppeteer. If you dislike running a bot, these are your shelf.